Okay. Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. We are still early, Another 4 minutes to go. So today is the 15th November, 2018, Thursday class. So we wait for another 3 or 4 minutes, before we start. In the meantime, you got any questions, you can ask, This is the new Krishnamurti code, which is very good. This code, when you understand, you will know how to meditate. Well, the title is, Why is One Thoughtless? He used the word thoughtless. The Buddha used apamada. Apamada, the opposite of heedlessness is called heedfulness. So the word thoughtlessness here means is the Buddha's meaning of heedlessness. So the title of the J. Krishnamurti Daily Code should be Why is One Heedless? But he used the word thoughtless. This code is very good. This code. When you understand, you will appreciate the deep meaning. Just now at the dinner, somehow they were discussing the Malacca trip, sharing Dhamma. Then I share something about the Dhamma that touches on this code. I also didn't know that this is the daily code that Pamasuri will help me to print. Yeah, I remember before I went to Malacca, I sent her an email, asked her to print. Then when I receive it, I know why is one thoughtless or heedless. You have a look, then you try to understand. Then afterwards we can discuss it. Yeah, thank you. This one is, I think Elsie and Polian and my wife, they will understand. Because I was trying to explain to them how the thinker and the thought come about. Then earlier on we had the, what they call, the other J. Krishnamurti code which complement this, finding silence. So in true silence, there is no thinker, no observer, no watcher. So this one explains very clearly to you what the thought process is all about. Then when you are mindful, aware, if you really meditate correctly, you will understand what he say. In fact, you will realize all this, experience all this. The way he put it is very interesting. Why is one thoughtless? Maybe we just read through it quickly, see whether you all understand. Why is one thoughtless? The thinker thinks his thought through habits, through repetition, through copying, which brings ignorance and sorrow. It's not habit thoughtlessness. That's why when you have this habitual tendency, you become heedless. That is the reason. Then awareness creates order. See? You don't know what sati is, what mindfulness is. Mindfulness is actually awareness. When you are mindful, you are aware, you create order. But awareness never creates habit. Do you understand? You know what is habitual tendency or not? Like automatic, mechanical, you just repeat it. Yeah, it's a habit to you, habitual tendency. So subtle tendencies only bring about thoughtlessness. Why is one thoughtless? Because to think is painful, it creates disturbance. It brings opposition, and it may cause one's action to go contrary to the established pattern. To think feel extensionally, to become choicelessly aware may lead to unknown depths, and the mind rebels against the unknown. So it moves from the known to the known, from habit to habit, from pattern to pattern. Such a mind never abandoned the known to discover the unknown. Realizing the pain of thought, the thinker becomes thoughtless through copying, through habits. Being afraid to think, he creates pattern of thoughtlessness. As the thinker is afraid, his actions are born of fear, and then he regrets his action and tries to change them. The thinker is afraid of his own creation. But the deed is the doer. So the thinker is afraid of himself. The thinker is fear itself. The thinker is the cause of ignorance, of sorrow. The thinker may divide himself into many categories of thought, but the thought is still the thinker. That's why the thinker is the thought, the thought thing itself. The thinker and his effort to become are the very cause of conflict and confusion. So this is craving to be and to become something. So this quote is very beautiful. I hope you all can reflect on it, contemplate on it, so that afterwards we can discuss it. It's a very beautiful quote. How many of you have really gone deep into your thinking process? Nobody? Cannot be. You have been thinking for so long, since birth until now. But do you really understand the thinking process? Who are you? What are you? What is thought all about? Who think? What think? Is there a thinker behind the thought? Do you really think that there is a thinker inside you that think all this thought? You should say yes, isn't it? True or not? Logical. How can you say I don't exist? I can think whatever thought I want. But you didn't meditate deep enough to understand. Thought is not you. There is no thinker behind the thought process. Okay. We can start now. Where is Sui An? Exceeded 4 minutes. Oh, Sui An is outside, so we wait for him. Maybe nominate 2. Adrian. Yeah. Have a seat. Yeah. Oh, you want to offer? You can. Get a plate at the back. Okay, maybe we let Mi Feng choose. Mi Feng choose 2 person. okay. We need 2 person to help light the candle and incense. Yeah, looking normal. any 2. Just get them to assist in lighting the candle and the incense. Andrew, yeah. Okay, the 2 ladies come. Help to light the candle. Then the rest of us can stand. Right. another one. Ah, okay. Thank you. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu, 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 oh, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Now we will do the puja chanting. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, the sadha, the virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja.
Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Svakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakkasangho sanghang namami.
Okay, you can be seated and turn to page 1 of your chanting book. We will chant the Vandana onwards.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura miraya macchapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami.
Now you chant the padipa puja, offering of lights.
Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dupena hang suganghina pujeye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda gunopetang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena matena ca hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasa bhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang.
Okay, now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering light. May this offering of light to the Buddha
brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, panya strengthen until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May this merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple jump. Vedang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can have about half an hour of meditation. Huh? We are off the light. Yeah. Yeah. Or is it? Oh, you first time here. Oh, good. You meditate before? Oh, good. What type of meditation do you do? So that one you do more towards vipassana. They call it vipassana. But what is your object of meditation? The abdomen rising and falling. Okay, good. Do you also do metta before? Metta bhavana, that easier, yeah, a lot easier. So I don't have to like start from everything like new. Huh? So you just do whatever that you know best. Huh? You see, what I need you to understand is the first session, which we call meditation, is to train the mind to be mindful, to be aware, then to stabilize it, so that it can develop the meditation. Because without the silent mind, without thought, you are not aware. You cannot meditate. Yeah. So what happened is, a lot of teachers, yeah, they straight away teach you methods and techniques. Mm. But most of them may not understand what is the purpose of methods and techniques. Actually, all the methods and techniques, including the meditation object and series of instruction given to you to develop the meditation, are actually only skillful means to anchor your mind, to train your mind in certain manner. So you use it to develop metta, they call it metta bhavana, metta meditation. If they use it to develop insight, they call it vipassana. Yeah. But the actual technique and method is just a series of instructions to train you to do something. And it's either they try to focus and concentrate so that the thought does not wander off, so that your mind cannot run fixed. Then you feel peace, calmness, and all those things. The other one, like Anapanasati, or even the rising and falling of the abdomen, or whatever method and technique that teach you how to be aware or develop just the mindfulness, the sati of the object of meditation, that one is more useful. So that one, you develop mindfulness of the object of meditation. Like Anapanasati, the Pali word Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. So this is just to train your mind to have mindfulness, to have sati. But you have to understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. Otherwise, you may just hold on to the method and technique and thinking that by noting all this, doing all this, you are doing vipassana or you are doing meditation. No. Like Anapanasati is just a very, very elementary training of the mind to be aware. That's why you look at the four foundations of mindfulness. The first foundation is Kaya Nupassana, mindfulness of our physical body, Kaya. So the Buddha chose our breath because it's a very neutral object, common to all. Everybody has the breath. And it is an object of meditation that is very neutral, suitable for most personality. That's why they introduce it and they use it. And this one, when you train, you develop sati. That's why the first category of training under Kayanupassana is Anapanasati. But after you have developed Anapanasati, the Buddha said you have to move into mindfulness of the four postures. And that one is more important, daily mindfulness. Then you have to go to the third category, which is Sati Sampajana, means mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement connecting the four postures in the present moment. And that is the full range of daily mindfulness. Means throughout the day, you have to train your mind to be aware, to be mindful. Like the Buddha under the Sutta, the Satipatthana Sutta, under Sati Sampajana, he says, standing aware, looking forward aware, bending, turning, stretching aware. Whatever you do, you develop awareness. Even putting on the monk's robe and all those things. And for us lay people, is when we are dressing up or putting on our whatever clothing. Yeah. Then even answer nature's call aware. Yeah. Then whatever you do in between the four postures, you develop mindfulness throughout. So this is how you train your mind to be ever mindful. Yeah. Then when you have developed this, then only you can go and continue with all the other cultivation. So you look at Avijja Sutta, it's very clear. Yeah. The one that we have gone through the few Thursday ago, together with our last one, I think. So this Avijja Sutta is very important. Avijja is ignorance. The Sutta on ignorance, how ignorance come to be, and how we can reverse it through the enlightenment cycle. So inside this Avijja Sutta is very clear. You need to train your mind to have this, what they call Sati Sampajana, means daily mindfulness with clear comprehension, the four types of clear comprehension. Clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, clear comprehension of domain of meditation. Then you have clear comprehension of suitability. Yeah. Then the last one is clear comprehension of non-delusion. Then after that, only you can develop what they call the sense restraint. Without daily mindfulness, you cannot see your mental intention, especially the fine and the subtle one. Then before that, the Buddha in the Avijja Sutta, he also mentioned, you must have Dhamma friends. Without Dhamma friends, you will not listen to the Dhamma. If you don't listen to the Dhamma, you cannot develop the initial wisdom born of the first turning, Sutamaya Panya, listening to the Sutta, or the second turning, when you reflect, contemplate into the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha or proclaimed by the Buddha. So when you reflect and contemplate, you will have a clearer understanding. Yeah. Then you can assimilate what you have learned and what you have heard, yeah, more deeply, so that you can understand it more clearly. So this stability or understanding under the reflection and contemplation is what the Buddha called the second turning wisdom, Cittamaya Panya. So when you have developed these two through listening to the Dhamma, straightening your view after you have contemplated and reflected, then you will not stir your mind so heedlessly like normal people. Then at the moment of sense experience, you can exercise sense restraint because you are mindful. You have daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, and you have yoniso manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience. Yeah. From there, the Buddha said, you will develop the faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, the Triple Gem. Yeah. Then yoniso manasikara will come about. Then after that, you will have your daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. Then you will be able to conduct yourself properly. The three way of good conduct will come to be. After you have done this, then only you can go into the four foundation of mindfulness. Otherwise, you are actually not going to progress, because without the stable initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, born on the first, second turning, without the daily mindfulness, very stable, if you do four foundation of mindfulness, it will be very, very difficult. Yeah. It just like you have to go into anapanasati and train, and this is what people do. So what I'm teaching here is very simple. I got no fixed method or technique. You don't have to be rigid. You can use any method, any technique that suits you. So even like rising and falling of the abdomen is one of the objects of meditation. You develop mindfulness of the rise and fall of your abdomen, because as you breathe, your abdomen moves. So you develop it. Yeah. But the only difference is after you have trained, what do you do? Yeah. How you use that trained mind that is in the state of sati, silent, relaxed, and just aware to meditate, to develop the wisdom, to awaken. Yeah. So the form of meditation is to stabilize the sati, to train it so that you can use this stability of mindfulness developed in your daily life to cultivate the four posture and the sati sampajana, and that is more important, so that you can develop the initial wisdom. When the initial wisdom is being developed, you can have sense restraint, then the three way of right conduct. Then when you go into four foundation of mindfulness, you progress very fast, you move very fast. So this is for today's consumption, because we have the recording here and we got somebody who is new. So I need to explain this part, there is condition. So now what I will do is I will give a general teaching, means for those who have not developed the stability of the spiritual faculties, the five spiritual faculties. We have Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. The Buddha said, without this spiritual faculty, you cannot understand spiritual teaching. And without this spiritual faculty, the opposite five, the five mental hindrance will arise. That's why when you come and try to meditate, before you have the five spiritual faculty, you tend to have these five mental hindrance creating problem for you. The five mental hindrance, as you all know, they are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, or lethargic mind, sleepy mind, or restlessness of mind. Restlessness come about because you got problem. There is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety. You are unsettled. That's why you are restless, because you have problem, unresolved issues. Especially those who break their precepts, or they are subject to the eight realities of the first noble truth, the reality of life and existence, birth, old age, sickness and death, separation from loved one and prized possession, when you are with people whom you don't like, or when you cannot get what you want, or in short, when through delusion, self-delusion, you attach, cling to this five aggregate of form and mind, leading to the five aggregates of grasping, which the Buddha called suffering or dukkha. So this is a very important understanding. So if the mental hindrance are still there, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you can't meditate. Most of you come here, you realize when you try to be mindful, aware, you cannot. The mind think a lot. It becomes hindrance, the hindrance come in. That's the reason why they give you method and technique to anchor your mind so that it does not wander off. Even anapanasati is the same. Rising, falling is the same. If you try to be mindful, then your mind wander off, heedless, he says, come back to the rising and falling, or come back to the breathing. So it's to train the mind to be at the location you want it to be. Then I have derived another skillful means to help you overcome all this in a simpler manner. If the mental hindrances are there, your spiritual faculty not ready, then what you should do is you should learn to decondition your heedless thinking. And to do that, you just relax, silent, and don't think. So I will introduce what we call the mind sweeping method. So okay, we off the line. I will give the instruction now. The mind sweeping method is to help you decondition your heedless thinking. Then in between, I may add in metta to help you develop the ability to relax faster and to do the inner peace leading to inner well-being, having loving metta within your heart. Okay, make sure you have a stable posture, relaxed body and mind, completely relaxed. Then check your backbone, make sure it's straight. Relax means don't go and think of anything or don't hold on to anything. Just relax, be at peace. Be quiet, just silent. No need to stress yourself out or force yourself to do anything. Just relax. Then close your eye. Then you just feel your forehead. For those who know how to meditate, already you know how to train your mind. You can go ahead with your meditation. You can use whatever method or technique or object of meditation you have, and you proceed with your meditation. But those who still have mental hindrance, you can use this. Okay, so feel the forehead. If there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then you move your attention now to your eye muscle, do the same, feel, relax every strand of your eye muscle. Normally after a tired day, your eye muscles are quite tired, so you feel it. Then if there is any tension, tightness or stress with it, you just feel it, relax, soothingly relax. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle, do the same. Strand by strand, you relax, feel it, soothingly relax. Then to help you relax faster, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy. When there is joy, you are stress-free. Then naturally, your facial muscle all will relax. Then after that, you can radiate love and metta to yourself by reciting, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. As you recite, you must feel it with your feeling inside. May I, this body and mind of mine, you feel your entire body and mind, be well and happy, having this well-being and happiness within you. Each and every cell of your body having this well-being and happiness. Then you can repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Then you can continue, may it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it. No physical suffering, no mental suffering. Just feel the thing. Then after that, you continue to read it. May it too be free from all harm and danger. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love. May there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can extend this metta to all your loved ones. May all my loved ones too be well and happy, free from all form of suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind stay still. Be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can extend this metta to all beings within this vicinity of Subhanjaya, especially our fellow Kayanamitas and meditators, and all beings known and unknown, seen and unseen, within Brother Siyan and Sister Mifong's house, extending to all beings within the whole of Subhanjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, and all beings within our solar system, extending to all beings within our Milky Way, and finally, to all beings within the entire universe. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind stay still, be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm, more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle, just feel, don't think, and move it down. Then you feel your neck relax. Then you move to your shoulder, feel, relax. Then your hand do the same, feel, relax. When you feel and relax without thinking, it is a new way to decondition your heedless thinking and make you calm and make you peaceful. Yeah, so you just feel them, relax into them. Then you come back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your heart or your chest area. Yeah. This is a very important location within your body. This is where your life force arise and pass away. This is where the heartbeat, the pulse of life, they arise and they pass away. And this is the seat of consciousness. From here, you receive your coming force. Your coming life force that give you life, that sustain your life, that sustain your heartbeat that pumps the blood to nourish your entire physical body, all the organs and all those things. So you just silence everything and feel. You can detect whatever vibration or heartbeat You just stay there, stay there. Silent everything and just stay there. Yeah. Then if you are new, you can't feel not sensitive, it's okay. You just feel your chest area like you feel your forehead. Then if there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you learn to relax, relax and relax, relax them all. Then feel your entire chest area suddenly relax. Then move your attention down to your stomach. Feel relaxed. Then you move your attention down to your abdomen. Just silence your mind and let the rising and falling or the phenomena come to your silent mind. Don't go and look for it. Silence everything and just stay there. When you have the mindfulness, when you are able to detect it, that entire movement of the abdomen, the so-called rise and fall, but without words, your awareness or sati is with it. Awareness and the phenomena of movement move as one. Just like anapanasati, the breath and the awareness or sati, they move as one. In perfect harmony and synchrony without thought. And that is real sati, mindfulness. So you try it. Huh? Yeah. Don't use your thought. Don't verbalize. Don't chatter. Don't label. Nothing. Just silence everything and just feel. Yeah. Then for those who are not doing rising falling, you don't have to do that. You just silence everything and feel the abdomen and relax into it. Then move on to feel your leg relax, silent. Then feel your buttock again. Don't think, relax. Then you can reverse this whole process. Feel your buttock relax. Then move it up to your leg. Feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Your heart area, silent everything, feel, relax. Then you move it on to your shoulder, feel, relax. Your hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then your neck, feel, relax. Then sweep it up to your facial muscle, slowly, feel, relax them all. Then you go to your eye muscle, do the same, feel, relax. Then your forehead, feel relaxed. By now, you should be quiet, peaceful and calm. This is your silent mind. This is awareness. But you need to anchor it somewhere to stabilize it. Otherwise, it will wander off. Yeah. Because your spiritual faculty are not stable, not strong. So what you can do is you need an object of meditation to anchor. So you can try anapanasati. So if you are new, anapanasati is very easy. You just maintain attention in front of your nostril. Then just silence everything. Then the breath has to go in and go out. So as your silent mind or awareness detect the breathing, just flow with it. Like the Buddha say, breathing in, away. Breathing out, away. Just flow with it in perfect harmony and synchrony. Initially, for those who are new, you may find it quite difficult because split second, your mind will wander off because you are not trained and you are hardly aware. Most of the time, you are heedless, thoughtless, thinking about a lot of things. The untrained mind is such, so don't worry. So every time it wanders off, maintain patience, just bring it back to your breathing. It can wander off 100 times or 1,000 times, never mind. Every time it wanders off, just be aware that this mind is no longer mindful of the breathing. So you come back and train. If you are patient, you don't create any aversion, which is a mental hindrance of ill will, then your mind will settle down very fast. You will be able to become mindful of your in and out breath within not more than 5 or 10 minutes, then this mind will start to stabilize. When sati is established, mindfulness of the in and out breath is established, you will feel the peace within, the spiritual calmness, the spiritual peacefulness. The Buddha called it piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, born of a mindful state of mind that is just aware without thought. So initially, when you experience piti, you will like it, because it's a spiritual calmness. Then sometimes it's so intense, it's like the mind rapture inside there. Very, very nice feeling, calm, peace, very soothing. Then continue to relax into it and maintain anapanasati until the breathing become very calm. It's like long breath. Then like the whole breath is full of clarity when you develop the anapanasati. Just stabilize it. Continue to do it. Then every time energy build up or whatever build up, relax into it. Don't allow it to build up. Just relax into it and maintain the silence. If you are able to relax into it and maintain the mindfulness, then it will transform. Piti will become sukang. You will experience a mind state that is very, very blissful. And this blissfulness or sukang is what we call the more refined state of the trained mind that is in sati. Then you will experience that type of blissfulness. The mind becomes very blissful. Continue to relax into it. Don't get yourself attached or cling on to that state. Don't every time look for that state when you meditate, because it's really very calm, very peaceful and full of bliss. But this is only a byproduct of meditation, so you don't have to attach to it. You just continue to relax and silent and train. Then you have done it correctly over time. This sukhang also works. Fade away. Then the mind becomes different. It becomes very quiet, very still. Like there is no more breathing. All your breathing becomes like very short, very subtle, like no more breathing. Even rising and falling is the same. Like you reach a state, you can hardly perceive it. Because your bodily vibration, your breath, everything internal, breathing, everything has become slow. It has all settled down. Slow down because of your calmness, peacefulness, the piti, the sukhang. Then your mind is entering sati. But if you don't understand, they will teach you to do something else. When you reach that state, they will ask you to do sitting, touching and other things. Please find out yourself. Don't go and stir the mind again. Don't go and verbalize again. Don't create any more thoughts. You're supposed to continue to silent, don't do anything. Until that silent mind, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, which we call pasati, become very stable. And as you continue to silent, not long, this silent mind will become different. The mind enters sati, reach a more refined level of sati. Then this sati that is so refined can now detect the subtle breathing. It's like the breathing come back to you, but it's still the subtle breathing, but everything is so clear because the mind is in sati. You continue to train this way. Then when your mind is in sati, means you are ready to do the meditation. Then wherever you locate this mind is very sensitive. Then this mind you can just silence and locate it anywhere you want. Then you can also free this mind. When there is no center, it's just silent, aware, awareness without a center. Then this mind is very sensitive. It can be mindful of many, many things. It can understand all the essential Dhamma within your form and mind. Then everything that the Buddha has taught you, the essential Dhamma, you can witness them arising and passing away within your form and mind. So you just silence everything and maintain mindfulness within. This silent mind, which is aware, will develop its own understanding. It will awaken. It will understand. It will be able to see all the dependent origination link, paticca-samuppada. What happened during contact, upon contact, what really arise. Yeah. Then how your mind stir, how thought arise, how it condition, fear, worry, anxiety, heedlessness, and all those things. You will start to see them. Yeah. And you will start to understand clearly the movement of thoughts, the movement of emotion, feeling, being conditioned into craving, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant feeling. Then when you sit too long, you cannot maintain mindfulness, you will have pain and all those things. Then see how your mind labels it to create a mental hindrance. Then how your lack of peace come to be. Then how it affects you in your meditation. All this you will learn. Then you will straighten your view. You will learn to correctly meditate according to understanding. You don't meditate just because you are gullible. You just follow instruction without real understanding of what is meditation and what are you doing in the name of meditation. You just repeat the instruction without understanding. If you do that, you will not progress. You will not learn much. But if you silence everything and find out through the silent mind, you will learn. You will be able to develop your understanding very clearly. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. Yeah? Then afterwards, when the half an hour is up, I will ring the bell. person still wants to meditate, you can continue for yourself and now slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness and inner mindfulness that you have developed. Especially if you have stabilized your sati until you become very stable. Until the samadhi leading to pasati is there. Samadhi is a collected state of mind. The mind that is collected is unwavering. Yeah. But it's a free mind. It's not a focused, concentrated mind. It's the mind that is in tranquility, stillness, sati, but very stable. Fully aware. Okay. Then after that, use it to develop your daily mindfulness, starting with the four posture, then covering all the connecting movement. Sati sampajana means mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action or movement in the present moment. You need to have this heedfulness, stability of mindfulness, daily mindfulness. Dhammapada verse 23 is very clear. The Buddha said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, they will realize the supreme, born-free Nibbana. So, constantly meditative and ever mindful is what heedfulness is all about. When you are heedful, you are ever mindful. Because according to Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die means you are destined for enlightenment. Whereas if you are heedless, you are not able to be heedful or mindful, ever mindful. You are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. Means spiritually you don't stand a chance. Spiritually you are dead. So that's the reason why you need to train your mind to be ever mindful in the midst of life and nature, so that you are ever mindful. Yeah. Then you use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then combine the two, it becomes heedfulness. So constantly meditative is constantly cultivating this Noble Eightfold Path. The reason why I say Noble Eightfold Path is a meditation as taught by the Buddha is because you look at the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha. This is the essential teaching of the Buddha, the essence of his teaching, the Four Noble Truths. Within the Four Noble Truths, which one is meditation? First Noble Truth talk about the reality of life and existence, the eight condition that brings about suffering. So this is just understanding. It's not a meditation. Then the second Noble Truth explain to you the cause behind suffering. He say whatever arise during suffering, there is a cause. The eight condition that condition suffering under the first Noble Truth is trigger off by craving, you see. Craving born of self-delusion, attachment, clinging, grasping. So craving got three types. Sensual craving or karma tanha in Pali. Then you got craving to be and not to be. Means bhava tanha and vibhava tanha. This again is not the meditation. This is just to explain to you the cause of suffering. Then the third Noble Truth, the Buddha says, suffering need not be, because enlightenment in the here and the now, cessation of form and mind leading to the enlightenment can be realized in the here and the now. Again, this is about enlightenment, it's not about meditation. But the fourth Noble Truth is very clear, the Buddha said, there is this Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate them, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now that you are looking forward to realize. Because unless you have the enlightenment, you will continue to have suffering. Only enlightenment, via insight into the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, can give you that type of wisdom to liberate your mind, to free your mind from all delusion. And finally, ignorance. So this is just for your understanding. Okay, now turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Veja charana sampano sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang Buddho kawati Swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehi paseko opanayiko Pachatang veditabo Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Sakasango Ujupatipano Bhagavato Sakasango Nyayapatipano Bhagavato Sakasango Samichipatipano Bhagavato Sakasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkeneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Buddha. Buddha, Pujjami. 不介意。三行不介意。Okay, you can be seated. Just relax body and mind. Maintain some form of attention. Yeah? Then we will start our second session. Second session is meditation, reporting, followed by whatever question you have. Eh? You can ask me whatever question you want on meditation and the teaching. Eh? Then, of course, how to apply this teaching in your daily life, how to help you understand the teaching so that you can make use of this teaching to transform your life, to make a difference to your life, so that you can truly benefit from these beautiful teachings of Sakyamuni Buddha. Okay, if you have any question, just raise your hand. Or whoever want to report meditation, you just raise your hand. Anybody? Nobody. What about the yap? Huh? You got any meditation reporting? You want to report what exactly you do? Or you got any question I can help you understand? You just report exactly what happened the last half an hour or so when you develop the meditation. Are you calm? Are you calm? After a while, okay. Then are you able to stay there? Oh, okay. So every time if this mind wanders off, what do you do? Oh, okay. You just verbalize, if I'm not wrong. Okay, how do you not? You have to use words, isn't it? No. You have to, one step at a time, you have to use words. So words need to be verbalized, understand? Otherwise, normal people cannot understand. They need words. Yeah? So it's normal, because that was what is been taught for quite long. They will teach you to note that the mind has wandered off. It's no longer at the rising and falling. Supposed to develop the so-called mindfulness of this. But they say when you note this rising and falling, you are doing vipassana. That's what they told you. You have to investigate yourself. You have to find out what vipassana is. Well, vipassana is a word that you need to understand. Maybe I explain a bit. So according to the Buddha, this word vipassana, there are two parts. First part is vi. What is the meaning of this vi? Pasana, you know. Pasana. What is the meaning of this? This is to insight into. That's why you got this word we, which represent the three universal characteristic. So these three universal characteristics are anicca, dukkha, and anatta. So three universal. Oh, got S. Three universal characteristics. Yeah? This one you know, anicca, dukkha, anatta. So, these three universal characteristics Called universal characteristic because it is inherent in all things in this universe. Whatever thing, whatever phenomena, they exhibit these characteristics. They are all impermanent. Whatever that is within the conditioned world. The first characteristic is impermanent because they are dependent originating, condition arising. Dependent on condition, they arise. When condition cease, they cease. When condition continue to evolve, they evolve. That's why it's impermanent. That's why everything in this world is in a state of flux, moving, coming and going, dependent originating, rise and fall. And the next characteristic is, the Buddha said, if you attach, cling and want things your way, which is not nature's way, means you cannot see the universal characteristic of dukkha. You will suffer. When you want things your way and you cannot get what you want because your way is craving, not according to nature's law. So whenever you want things to be like that, like this body, don't get old, don't get sick and die, it won't listen to you. Because this physical body goes the way of nature, like everything else. It has this universal characteristic of suffering. If you attach, cling and want things your way, which is not nature's way, you will suffer. And because it's impermanent, the Buddha say, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can call, this is me, this is I. That's why all this can be mine. He say, this is a self-delusion, no such thing. Even our form and mind is the same. Every moment, every instant is in a state of flux. Within our physical body, our feeling come and go, our thought process come and go, our perception come and go, our aggregates of mind, mental state sankhara come and go, even consciousness come and go. That's why it has the characteristics of impermanence. Then if you are mindful, stand still, you can feel your pulse of life, they rise and they fall. The pulsation. Then all of your vibration within your body, every moment, every instant, they are all in a state of flux. Then your cells, your blood, they are ever, ever active, alive. There are cells that die. There are cells that are being regenerated. Then there are cells that are serving you. So if you are mindful, sensitive, aware, then you realize you are just a bundle of form and mind with a five aggregate arising and passing away. And the two aspects of it. The first aspect as a human being. We have a human body with a consciousness or mind trapped inside. So we have the aggregate of form, physical body, first aspect. Then we have a mind that has the aggregate of feeling, perception, sankhara, or activity of mind state, mental formation, and all those things. Then we also have the last part, which is consciousness. So these four aggregate of mind plus the physical become five. But at the moment of sense experience, when we see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactilely feel something, this is our mental five aggregate. That is the second aspect. So how do we understand the mental five aggregate? Like your seeing consciousness. We know that consciousness in the mind, there are only four. Feeling, perception, activity of mind or sankhara, and vijnanam, consciousness. Then how did the form enter the mind? The mental form enters the mind through your perception aggregate. Like when you look at this Buddha Rupang, external form enters your mind through perception. That's why the five aggregate is there. When you listen to your mind voice, you perceive it through your hearing consciousness. So again, this mental form of vibration enters your mind through your perception, where you perceive it through your hearing. So that's how the mental form enters the mind. So the second aspect of the five aggregate is the form is not your physical body, but it's mental form, external form. Yeah. So again, the five mental aggregates of form and mind. And this is the one that you have to be aware. This is dependent origination. The Buddha talked about this five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect, under Paticchasamuppada. So coming back to this, so vipassana is actually to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature. So vipassana is not a practice. Vipassana is not a method or a technique where you keep on doing. Vipassana is to have the silent mind to insight or awaken to the universal characteristic without thought. It just understand, it awaken. So this one you cannot practice. Vipassana is not a practice, but I hope you all don't get a shock when you hear this. Everybody say they practice vipassana. Maybe that is their way of teaching and that is their way of expressing. They think vipassana is a practice. You can practice vipassana. But if you look at the word, it's to insight into the three universal characteristics. So what is practice? When you practice to ride a bicycle, when you practice to cook, play game, run, train yourself, like the method and technique, what are you doing? To practice is to train regularly there. Correct or not? It's a mechanical thing there that you constantly do there. And how can that bring about insight? To insight into the three universal characteristics is to develop the wisdom, the Dhamma that the Buddha talked about. And under the salutation to the Dhamma, the Buddha defined what that Dhamma is. If you say you are enlightened, your enlightenment must conform with this Dhamma that he has taught. And he make it very clear. He says, Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. What is the meaning? Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo means well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. And this Dhamma has this universal characteristic. Has this characteristic. That's why he says, Swakato Bhagavato Bhagavata Dhammo. Then this Dhamma is sanditiko. What is sanditiko? Can be realized in the here and the now. No need to wait till death. Then this Dhamma is akaliko. What is akaliko? Beyond thought, beyond mind. So it doesn't involve the thought process. It doesn't involve the mundane mind, the thinking mind. So sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko is stand up to investigation. You can come and investigate into it. It stand up to investigation. But it's the truth. It will always be like that. Then opanaiko, leading inward. Pachetang, to be realized by the wise, each for themselves. That's why pachetang, veditabo, vinohiti. So if that one cannot be realized by the being that is connected to the silent mind, the true mind, that awaken, then it's not pachetang. It's knowledge. So this understanding is very important. This insight is the awakening. That's why the Buddha said he can only show you the way. You have to walk the path yourself. And this is the meaning. Walking the path yourself means you have to develop the meditative mind, the silent mind, the heedful mind, to be ever mindful, to insight into phenomena and to awaken. That's why all the four foundations of mindfulness is about mindfulness. Nothing to do with the thought. It's just aware. When you are constantly aware without thought, this vipassana can come to be. You can approach it from any direction, using any method, any technique. But if you follow the Buddha's teaching, his teaching is very clear. He advised the cultivator to follow the Avijja Sutta. This Avijja Sutta we have gone through. you should go to the website. You go to this website, veritio.com, then you go to menu, then you click on about, about. There, under there, the description, Avijja Sutta is there. You read through and you will understand. So the Avijja Sutta starts by saying you must have Dhamma friends. When you have Dhamma friends, you will have the condition to listen to the true teaching, the Dhamma, is it? So when you listen to the true teaching, the first turning wisdom, Sutamaya Panya, can arise, because Sutamaya Panya is listening to the Sutta as taught by the Buddha. If you can have the condition to awaken, you will develop that wisdom. That's why when you listen to the Dhamma, it's a prerequisite for enlightenment, and it's also a meritorious action. It's only after you listen to the Dhamma you can straighten your view, the Buddha said. If you don't listen to the true Dhamma, you cannot straighten your view. So after you have the ability to straighten your view, then you must have faith in him, because you know his teaching is so beautiful. That's why you are willing to change. You straighten your view. Then you realize you become a different person. Personality-wise, character-wise, understanding-wise, you become more calm, more peaceful, more aware, more wise. You are no longer heedless like before. You no longer stir your mind, react and create all the unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety, suffering, all the various negative mind states that condition your karmic negativity. All this was cease to be. So because of that, the Buddha said, you will be able to develop the initial wisdom to deal with life. And when you reflect and contemplate on the teaching, it becomes the second turning wisdom, Cintamaya Panya. With these two, it will form the initial wisdom leading to Yoniso Manasikara, means wise attention at the moment of sense experience. And then you cultivate daily mindfulness, then you can be aware of your mental intention. That's how you cultivate. Then after that, you will have the ability to cultivate sense restraint. Means restraint of your senses. When you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile feel something or think of something, your mind will not react and stir like before, or get excited or panic. So all those fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, due to your wrong view, they will cease. Then your like and dislike, which you always arise, pleasant, unpleasant, sense experience, every moment of sense experience, the duality. And these are your first two mental hindrances, sensual desire and ill will. So these first two mental hindrances, sensual desire and ill will, are actually part of your greed and hatred. When you understand, you will know. All your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience are actually your mental hindrances. When you labor in the meditation, pain, 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 when you note pain, you are creating mental hindrance. Where this is a negative mind state. Then when you create mental hindrance, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you cannot meditate. So this is very important. So with the daily mindfulness, all this, you will see them. Then you can deal with them, because they overrule all those things. The wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. Their mental intention behind all become very clear. Then when you can deal with them, you become different. You can arise the four right effort to abandon them. Whatever wrong thought that has arisen, you can abandon them. The five ways which we have gone through, meditative way. Then the second right effort, when you have the wisdom, the initial wisdom, you can prevent it from arising. Well, you know this is wrong thought, conditioning your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, your phobia and all those things. So wrong thought will lead to negativity of mind. because it lacks wisdom. So when all these are in place, you can exercise sense restraint, then you are incapable of doing the wrong thing. That's why under the Avijja Sutta, he said, you can arise the three way of good conduct. When you can arise the three way of good conduct, then means you are ready. By then, very likely, you are at least a sotapan. Otherwise, you cannot reach there, that level. Because you are incapable of the wrong conduct. Your four right effort already cultivated. Your initial wisdom already can give you that type of understanding to break free self-delusion. Then after that, he say, if you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, you will progress very fast. You can do it very easily because your daily mindfulness is already there. Yeah. So when you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, means you are on the right path. If you are on the right path under the seven stages of purification, the Buddha said the seven factors of enlightenment, satta bhujanga, they will keep on arising. That's how you realize enlightenment. That one is the third turning wisdom, bhavana maya panya. Bhavana is meditative training. Wisdom born of bhavana, the meditative training. That is the third turning wisdom. And that is very penetrative. And to awaken, you need the first and second turning wisdom stabilized for you to receive that type of penetrative wisdom. So this initial wisdom called Yoniso Manasikara is also in the Avijja Sutta. It's mentioned very clearly. You must have that to have the ability to exercise sense restraint. Otherwise, at the moment of seeing or hearing the consciousness, your mind will stir or react. But because of the initial wisdom, you can have that right view to actually maintain that peace within, the calmness, the understanding, not to stir and not to react. Because this initial wisdom, born of reflection, contemplation, and hearing the true Dhamma, is very important. Especially what the Buddha taught. He called it the five daily contemplation. Every day you must contemplate. Five daily contemplation. You can remember what they are? Yeah? What are they? Every day you must reflect and contemplate. The first three is what? This body of mind is of the nature to grow old, get sick, or disease, and die. Then number four, separation. Separation. So this separation from loved ones or things that you hold on to dearly, things that you hold on to dearly. So this one is to counter the first noble truth reality that bring about suffering. So if you contemplate every day, this body of mind is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, because it's only element, cannot be me, the four element. And this four element goes the way of nature. That's why you will get sick, grow old, get sick, and finally die. And this is a universal reality. Everybody, if you live long enough, you have to confront them. You have to be subjected to it. So when you reflect on this, contemplate on this, and develop the initial wisdom, when you get old, fall sick, and about to die, you got no fear. Because you will not deludedly cling to this physical body, thinking that it's you. When you cling, you worry about you getting sick, getting old, and die. But when you know this is not me, this is just a karmically conditioned vehicle for me to come to this world, then I use it. Then when this thing happens, I confront it with wisdom and understanding. The body is sick, but the mind is never sick. Because you understand, condition like that, things will be like that. So you do what you have to do. You have to take care of the body, you take care of the body. You have to experience the manifestation of getting old. You have to deal with old age or what. You learn from life. Then with wisdom, you don't get angry. You don't go and fear, worry, and have all this unnecessary negative mind state to make you miserable. That is what suffering is all about. So when you have this contemplation done every day, your initial wisdom is very powerful. You can confront getting old, getting sick, and die. Then separation, the Buddha said, very easy. Everything is dependent originating, including this physical body and mind. So one day it will separate. Your loved ones too. Either they leave you first, or you leave them first. When conditions cease to be, you will have separation. Then not only through death you separate. Sometimes, like the things that you hold on to dearly, your property, your wealth, your business, your whatever antique or possession that you own, where you believe you own. So when things no longer go your way, like economic crisis, or you make a mistake in your investment decision or what, or you did something wrong, the police come after you, like now politicians going through. Now they go hospital very often. Last time they have joy, they have fun, they think they are in authority. But when the government change, the condition change, a lot of things they think they own, now they realize it's better not to own. Because if you own, it gives you problem. Then this one will separate. Yeah. When you die, it also separate from you. Before you die, if condition cease to be, it also separate from you. So separation is a reality. Then sometimes, not only due to death, relationship failure lead to separation, divorce, very common. Then forced separation during nature's calamity, like earthquake, disaster, or war, riots, you can be separated from your loved one, especially those who are born in the war zone or country that are not so safe. Then you can also have earthquake, building collapse, tsunami, that can lead to separation too. But the fifth one is the most powerful and most important. What is the fifth one? About the law of karma. The Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if you want to understand life, you look at this every day. If law of karma plays such a great role in my life, I am born of it. I inherit everything from it. And it conditioned and supported me every moment. Every instant. I am what I am because of my karma. So what must you do? You must take care of karma, isn't it? So how do you take care of karma? You have to avoid all evil, do good, isn't it? Which is the advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil, do good. Then purify your mind to develop the wisdom so that you are not deluded. So this will give you a lot of second turning wisdom to prepare you to confront the First Noble Truth reality and teach you how to live life. That's why the advice of the Buddha comes from understanding this law of karma, the first right view, karma niyama. And when you understand this, you will know why the Buddha asked you to keep the precept. Because to avoid all evil, you have to keep precept. Those who violate the precept create evil. You understand that? Why do you keep the five precepts and not other things? What are precepts? Like the first precept, Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. What is the meaning? I undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow beings. The question you must inquire and ask via the second turning is, who kill, who harm living beings? then you will come to understand that only a deluded human being with selfishness, with craving, with what they call anger, hatred, and very violent, they will kill. True or not? If you are not deluded, you won't kill or harm people. If you are not selfish, having a lot of desire and craving, you will not kill, you will not harm. If you are not violent, you don't have anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, you will also not kill and harm. So people who kill and harm has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why these are evil people. So if you do this, your karma will fall. So karma is what? The Buddha said, you reap what you sow. Do good, begets good. Do evil, begets evil. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. So if you kill and you harm, you will create karmic conditioning for the future. In future, when there is condition, people will kill you, harm you. If that is what you want, go ahead. Yeah, because it's your life, nothing to do with other people. So if you have this daily contemplation, reflected, contemplated, you will tell myself, my life, I cherish it. I will not allow my life to be subject to the negativity of karma. That's why I must keep the precept to avoid all evil, so that I will not reap the fruition of the negative karma, so that I will reap the wholesomeness part. That's why the second part, under the Buddha's advice, Dhammapada verse 183, I think you all know how to recite in a very, very common chant. I think outside SJBA, the gate there also, but it's in English. Yeah? But they didn't put avoid all evil, they say avoid evil. It's supposed to be sabba papasa akaranang. Sabba is all, papasa is evil, akaranang. The Buddha said all evil you have to avoid, not only avoid evil. Then kusalesa upasambada. Kusala, wholesomeness, whatever goodness, wholesomeness, you must do. Yeah. Then sachitta, your mind, pariyottapanang, etang buddhana sasana, means you have to purify your mind. This is the advice of all Buddhas. So when you understand that, you just have to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good. Avoid all evil, now you know. You have to develop the mindfulness to exercise sense restraint. Remember? Then only you can undertake the training rule to abstain, not to kill, not to violate. Because if you don't have the daily mindfulness, you cannot see your evil root. You cannot exercise sense restraint. If you don't have the initial wisdom as to understand what constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, you have to expand on it and understand what constitutes evil. Then only you can deal with karma. Yeah. Then the other aspect is how to cultivate goodness, wholesomeness. You have to follow Noble Eightfold Path. Right view with regards to law of karma leading to right thought, right speech, right action. That's how you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Then right livelihood or right living. Then the four right effort to constantly purify your mind, your thought process. Then mindfulness to develop the wisdom, to insight into phenomena. Then mindfulness stabilize it, leading to samadhi. With sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are. You can awaken and insight into phenomena and develop the third turning wisdom, which is very penetrative. It will just awaken your mind. That's why the five spiritual faculty is with faith, sadda, you will develop the spiritual faculty. Sadda will lead to virya. Well, when you have faith with regards to who the Buddha is and how wonderful his teaching is, how special a being he is, not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. You can say the Buddha is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born during his time. So to have such a great teacher, to guide you, to teach you, you will have a lot of gratitude, respect towards him. Yeah. And you will cherish his teaching. That's why you will go all out to cultivate his teaching, and you will develop this virya, spiritual zeal, or tenacity to walk this way, to cultivate his teaching. Then when you diligently do that, your sati will come, because you are serious about the practice or the cultivation. You will train your mundane mind to be heedful, to be aware. Then when you stabilize that sati awareness, it becomes samadhi. Your mind is collected and unvarying. So at every moment of sense experience, it does not stir anymore. Not like before. Because it's collected and unwavering. And you will see things as they are. Because you will not see or perceive things according to your memory. What is memory? Accumulation of experiences, good and bad. And this memory is your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. Your belief system, your tradition, your knowledge, everything is in your memory. And you act according to memory, you are not acting at all. But this memory, which is accumulation of your experiences, you have the good and the bad. Your fear, your phobia, your selfishness, they are all in your memory. You have seen how people cheat you and how you cheat people too. That's why all this memory you cannot use. You act according to memory, you are not acting at all. So when you see things, your memory come in very fast. This is what you are as a human being. Without wisdom, you will act heedlessly. You will create wrong thought. You will input the wrong content of consciousness. That's why your thoughts are all wrong thought. Because you don't have wisdom. Without yoniso manasikara, the initial wisdom, you cannot input the right thought. You cannot arise the Noble Eightfold Path of cultivation. That's why to have sense restraint, you must have daily mindfulness and the initial wisdom. So these are all connected. So when you have sati and samadhi, you see things as they are without the memory and the thought process coming in. And when this one don't interfere, you see them as they are. Means without the word, without the concept, without the chattering of the mind, without the verbalization, the direct seeing, jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality, then it can awaken, it can insight into phenomena without words, without knowledge. That is what the awakening is all about. So this part is very important. That's why with sati and samadhi, the Buddha says, panya, wisdom, keep on arising. When there is sati and samadhi to develop the four foundations of mindfulness, the seven factors of enlightenment, the factors that can make you enlightened, keep on arising. So when they arise, you will be awakened. Yeah. So this part, I hope, it can help you. Yeah. Okay. Sadhu. You got any question? Yeah. Wait, the mic for the recording.
Week after the meditation class, I maintained my mindfulness for 4 days.
Wow, sadhu. How do you do that?
I don't know.
Past. Your past is very powerful. It's coming back to you very fast.
And I feel very joyful.
Lot of joy.
I can see that there's different. Even though
Your mind becomes very different. Because you are all the time mindful. 4 days is no joke now. It's from your past.
But I have one
you ask all these people who has done so long. They can't even maintain half an hour.
I have one problem. I never have a dream before, but I have a dream.
Yes.
I had a dream.
You tell me.
It's a good dream. It's a normal dream.
I know. You tell me.
I don't know what's
the... It's from your past. You just tell me. What did you dream?
I dream of nothing important.
I know. Yeah. You just describe what exactly that one is. Because you may not know what it is.
I dream of my father. My late father. He's talking to me. Yeah.
Yes. That is very important. Because that consciousness can communicate with you. Last time you remember Anita, what? Anita Mojana. Mojari, how to pronounce? Never mind, we call her Anita. He said the father. You heard that talk or not? You never, you go and listen. Because she got this out of the body experience. She died actually. She was cancer and all those things. And when she come out, she was like in your state, you know, fully aware and mindful. But he went into the oneness state. The oneness state, his consciousness is like the shared consciousness of all beings. Like his consciousness and human beings' consciousness is one. Then he can like perceive his father communicating with him. Because his father is a cultivator, he has nature, and his father advised him. His father explained to him how he suffered. You know, he said, all this cancer, all this thing is the way your body tells you that you have lived your life wrongly. You have created a lot of stress, a lot of karmic negativity, negative mind state, that condition your suffering, your misery. And these are negative mind state that cause your immune system to go down. That's how she got all this cancer and all things. So he said, all of your life challenges, which can be your sickness or problem or whatever, is a gift from nature. Gift means it's like to teach you, to tell you, like early warning. Just like your body got pain, that means it's telling you got problem already. Don't wait. That's it. So all these are signs, yeah, to tell you that you have to do something about it. Either change your diet, change the way you live your life, change the way you arise your thought. Then you know what happened. The father told her, now that you know what happened, you have the understanding. Go back and live yourself. Live your life fearlessly.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that after that, my life will be very happy.
Yeah. Yes, you don't hold on to all these things. Yeah, the big difference. Because when you are mindful, aware, heedful, you don't think, very little thought. So when you don't think, you don't attach to things, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, no memory of all this negative thing. Your phobia all doesn't come. That is just joy. That's why that joy is pity. Pity. Then you use that to meditate. Daily mindfulness, then you will come to see a lot of things that you never see before. This daily mindfulness is very powerful. When you have the ability to be mindful throughout the day, that mindfulness, I tell you, is very different. You can see your greed, your subtle greed. Sometimes it comes through the back door, through the thought, trying to tell you things. All this you can see, then you will be exposed. Then you will know. That's why you can prevent the wrong thought from arising. Because this is the thought that last time conditioned you into fear, worry, anxiety, negativity. How you stir your mind, how you become unhappy. That is all the thought telling you through the wrong thought. Then the moment you see, you are aware, enough. This is the same old wrong thought coming back to haunt you. Then you will never allow yourself to be tormented again. You are no longer deluded. Understand? It's just like this one. Let's say it's red hot, burning. The moment you hold on to it, what happens? It will burn you, isn't it? It will torment you, isn't it? So the natural thing to do is what? Just put it down. Not letting go at all. You know, I can feel it burning me, tormenting. So I put it down. When I put it down, my mind is free, isn't it? No more burn, no more tormented. But the problem is still there, understand? Well, this is the problem that people hold on to, the problem of life. Can be your relationship problem, your career problem, your health problem, your financial problem, or whatever problem. So you have to deal with it. But now I can deal with it because I'm not holding. I'm not clinging. I don't arise the fear, worry, anxiety. When I hold, I think, I worry. Understand? Then I cannot act. But when I don't hold, I don't cling, my mind is free. There is clarity. Then I know. This is a common reality. Not only me subject to all this. This is the first noble true reality that the Buddha talked about. Every human being who lives life will have to confront. So if I confront with wisdom, I will not cling, I will not hold, I will just let it be. accept this reality. And when I accept with a clear mind, I ask myself, you're off it first, eh? Off it first. Just push that thing. Somebody teach her to push. Slide it. Okay. So when I have clarity of mind, I ask myself, what actually happened? And then I look at it. Okay, let's say health problem. Then according to the Buddha, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind, isn't it? And what is the cause? The law of karma, understand? Where we are born out of karma, add to our karma, condition is supported by our, we are what we are because of karma. So we have this karmic past, then we have done something wrong. That's why we know this is the fruition of it. The condition arise, it happened. So I have to accept this reality, where this is a reality. Then I act. How do I act? Not according to memory, according to wisdom, Noble Eightfold Path. I have right view to accept the law of karma first. Then I act. If I know this is something wrong from the past, I ask for forgiveness. That's why Mahayana got repentant. I ask for forgiveness, I repent. Repent means I vow not to do all this the karmic negativity that violate the precept again, not to kill, not to harm, not to steal, not to deceive, and all those things. So when I vow through repentance not to repeat it, means I am willing to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify my mind. Then I determine from now onward to continuously cultivate this understanding. So like you come to all this class, listening to the Dhamma, straightening your view, pay respect, do dana, sila, keep your precept and bhavana, meditate. All these are meritorious actions. Then you listen to the Dhamma, you straighten your view, it's also meritorious action. Then you share merit, transfer merit, you rejoice. These are all meritorious action. Then you provide service to the Buddhist community. These are meritorious action. Then these 10 meritorious action over time will become very powerful. Then you invoke power of merit for causes and conditions for you to recover from that sickness or that financial problem or relationship problem. Then it will bring about the result. Then when your mind state is different, you don't create any more karmic negativity, the karmic stop. Because with the wisdom, your mind is no longer subject to that karmic law. The moment you have the wisdom, it has no power to torment you, it will reverse. Karma is like that. There is no way to reverse unless you have the wisdom and the understanding. So when it happens, your mind becomes beautiful. So this could be a message from your father. Although he communicated with you like daughter and father and daughter. Yeah, but you may not know. Later on, if your nature is really, you have strong affinity with certain great beings, the message will come. The message will come before you wake up. Early morning, before you wake up, that few minutes, it will come in a very beautiful way. If God, you let me know. Yeah. Because in 1986, Kuan Yin's nature came with a message for me. She poured the triple gem on my hand and said, you have to move fast, not much time left. That moment onward, I continue my cultivation non-stop. Yeah. Then after that, 2008, another message come from another great being. So a lot of these things will happen. So you have your past, definitely. Otherwise, you cannot do that. It's not easy. This is your second lesson only here. Where got people, first lesson, can maintain mindfulness for 4 days? You tell them they also don't believe you. Where they themselves cannot do. I rejoice. My nature really rejoice. And sadhu to you. So you go to the website, slowly go into all this. You will progress very fast. Then you can register for the retreat March next year. You will learn very fast. We have the whole Heart Sutta, you will understand, and you will progress very fast. Very good, sadhu. Yeah? I rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Any more questions? Yeah? What else do you want to know? Yeah, you do. Oh, you cannot understand last time. Oh, I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why the thought create the resistance. Understand or not? So this one you resist the five daily contemplation because you don't like all these things. Understand? And it's not you. That one is your thought. Because your thought has craving. That's why you say, you wish this body forever young, always pretty, don't get old, don't get sick. You have sin and weakness. Your grandparent, your parent, all the old people, they never forever young. Maybe you got song that is evergreen. But human being don't have ever young. So straighten your view. This body is not you, the Buddha said. Mind, consciousness is not you. Why? Because your feeling come and go. Good feeling also arise and pass away. Unpleasant feeling also arise and pass away. If feeling is you, when the unpleasant feeling pass away, you should die. Isn't it? But you didn't die. So how can feeling be me? Like the Buddha said. So feeling, if it's not me, then who am I? What am I? Then how come it arise in me? That is meditation. When you meditate with mindfulness, you will know that feeling is dependent originating. Well, upon contact with the senses, consciousness comes to be. And within the consciousness, there is this seven universal concomitant within the consciousness. One of them is feeling. The other one is contact. The other one is perception. Everything is there. And you will see them in the meditation. Then you realize, feeling was not me. Before contact, there was no feeling. When you were in that mindfulness state, no contact, no feeling, nothing. But got contact, you will come back to mindfulness because your mindfulness state is very stable from your past. You have developed it. That's why when you have the right understanding and the right teaching, you do, it will connect and it will come back to you. And very fast, you will understand. So this part is very important. So now, you change your view, means you straighten your view and tell yourself, this one is the physical body, not you. You cannot attach. It goes the way of nature. That's why without understanding, you cannot contemplate. Because you cannot develop the wisdom. Then, like the separation, sooner or later, your consciousness will have to separate from this physical body. And they call death. Actually, no one died. Nothing died. It's just a separation of the form, the consciousness from the form. That's why there is no death. Nothing. And you understand all this. Then separation, because they are all dependent originating, condition arising. Got condition, your loved one is there, it belongs to you. But when condition cease, no longer belong to you. And when your breath stop, all this is no longer you. We are your entity erased, understand? Because we are impermanent. How can an entity that is impermanent own anything? Well, this will separate. Once it separate, our entity gone. So life is just so simple. And when you understand this five daily contemplation, your initial wisdom very powerful. You can deal with life. You can deal with sense experience. You can deal with the meditative understanding. Then you become very different. You do not fear death. Because you know this is not me. Like the Buddha said, when body is sick, my mind should not be sick. That's why he said, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. How can I understand it? It's only when I fall sick, I can understand it. Then I can feel. How is it like to be sick? Have you all tried? I enjoy when I have this, I say, condition come already, so that I can really learn the contemplative wisdom of the second turning. Where the Buddha said, this noble truth or dukkha under the second turning is to be understood. How can I understand it? Unless it arises, I cannot understand. So when it arises, I experience it, I feel. Then I realize, hey, the consciousness trapped inside. Then the consciousness is aware of the part that is not feeling well, understand? Like fever, or backache or whatever. Then I realize this is the consciousness that is conditioning your whatever self-delusion to grasp, to cling, thinking that this body is you, you are sick, you have pain, you have headache. No, my mind is different. my mind can accept this reality. But this is a reality, the Buddha said. This is my body, which is not me, dependent originating, like the Buddha said. It's of the nature to grow old, get sick. So this is sickness, getting old. So accept it. When I accept means I don't hold, I don't cling. I don't worry about it. Understand? When I don't worry about it, I'm at peace. But when there is disease, of course, the consciousness trapped inside, it keep on reminding you, understand? But I know this is the way of the body to tell me that something is wrong. That's why I need to seek second opinion. I seek second opinion. I need cure. I go and seek cure. Understand? Just like your car. Yeah? How you maintain your car is very important. You take care of it. It lasts you longer. Yeah? So if you want to maintain your youth or what? Eh? My wife used to use the word lo pun. Understand? You know in Hokkien, lo pun. Means spend a bit on it. Eat the good food, maintain your health. Then do some facial or what. It's not craving. Please, you can afford it. By all means, go and do, relax yourself. And meditate and have a relaxed mind. Your youth will remain. And I remember during the early day when I do Anapanasati, I went into absorption. No? I didn't really age on. No? And I was 44 years old. They thought I was still a university student. Yeah, I was in the university. I look, I cannot like age. But after I understand all this, I don't want to do that anymore. No point. What for? I want to maintain all this thing. When you have the understanding, you just let things be, you accord and flow. Do the best you can. Do your duty, that is more important. Because this one, they call it chou pi nang, skin back. It will go the way of nature, it's not you. Then we got time, 10 minutes for this. This will help you also, will help all those who want to understand. Why is one thoughtless? Jai Krishnamurti quote. Thoughtless, the equivalent Buddhist teaching is heedlessness. When you are heedless, you are thoughtless. A heedless person is a person who don't care. That's why you are very heedless. If you are heedful, you are very, very concerned, very mindful. But you are heedless, you don't care. It's just like a thoughtless person. Don't care, don't know what is going on. The thinker thinks his thought through what? Your habitual tendency is there. That's a true habit. Then? Repetitive is what? Repetition. Mechanical, understand? You just respond, understand? It's very mechanical, understand? Like the mechanical thing, keep on doing the same thing, understand? Like the press or whatever it do, it keep on repeating. That's why it's repetitive. So practice is repetitive, understand? Keep on training, understand? Yeah. So all these are very mechanical. So the thinker thinks his thought. Through habits, through repetition, through copying. To be safe means what? You do things that society think is correct. Then you don't go against the society's norm. Then you just do, understand? People dress up, you also dress up. Then people talk like that, you also talk like that. Where you scared to be different. Through copying, which brings, he used so strong a word now, brings about what? Oh, this is ignorant and sorrow. No, this is very, very, very sorrowful. You have to conform. Understand? You have to follow the norm, the society. You're scared to go against. You understand? Not? But my nature different. No? I come, I always the opposite one. I got no issue and problem with all the people laugh, people say all those things. I'm okay one. Because I believe in what I understand. I act with understanding. So this is what the thinking process is all about. When you don't have wisdom, when you are not mindful, you are not aware, you become heedless, you become thoughtless. And you develop all these two habits through mechanical repetition, then through copying from others. And this is really ignorant because it's not true wisdom. It's just like doing meditation. You do without understanding. So when you live life without understanding, you tend to copy. You tend to follow society and norm and all those things. The popularly accepted one. Then Krishnamurti said, awareness create order. You realize that? Yeah. Order means it's orderly, no longer heedless, no longer heed negative in your mind state. Awareness create order, but it never create habit. You know why? When you are aware, you won't repeat what you do. When you are aware, you see things as they are, that from your this direct seeing, from your awareness, you have clarity. Then you will know what is going on. Then you will know how to act. You act spontaneously with your initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, or noble eightfold path. That's how you act. Act with understanding. Act according to noble eightfold path. Where noble eightfold path is incapable of negativity. Yeah. So you act to resolve things amicably so that it doesn't hurt anybody, so that there is no karmic implication. Subtle tendency only brings about thoughtlessness. These are habitual tendencies. Why is one thoughtless? You listen to this. Because to think is painful. True or not? Yeah? How many of you experienced this before? When you cannot sleep, having insomnia, the thought keep on coming. What happened to you? How many of you during Chinese New Year go and play and enjoy until 24 hours you didn't sleep? Then you find yourself incapable of sleeping. That is really suffering. Your mind is so active up there. You want to sleep, it doesn't want to sleep. It's conflict. And you find it so miserable. So that time, if you are really mindful, you will know thinking is painful. Especially towards the end, before you become enlightened. When you want to experience the cessation of form and mind nibbana, I tell you, this mind becomes so sensitive and so different. Even the very moment of arising of consciousness, to be conscious is suffering, the fine suffering you can feel. That to be even at the moment of perception, to even perceive anything is suffering. At the moment of feeling is also suffering. That's why the fine aggregate is all suffering. Then you will come to have that understanding, the wisdom. Think also like that, don't think also like that. Because it's all not real. Empty nature. Impermanent, lead to suffering without wisdom. Then it's non-self, empty, not real. Then when this understanding is there, the mind will slow down and continue to cease, keep on ceasing. Then suddenly, everything happens. And when you go through that cessation, which is the realization of Nibbana, even the pure awareness, the consciousness all cease. Your five aggregate cease. But you are not dead. There is no mind, no consciousness, nothing. But you are not dead. Yeah. That is what Nibbana is all about. Then after that, you cannot decide when to come out. It has its own timing. If you are not supposed to parinibbana, it will come back. And when it comes back, you understand the whole thing. You will see how you function as a human. How the first consciousness come out through your nature. Then how it split into the three areas of consciousness. Then how it activate your brain. It start again. Then how it activate your emotion, your heart area. Then how it's connected to your true mind, your true nature. Then your tan ten there, or it activate again. And you become a conscious being again. That's how all this can happen. So this part is very important. Why is one thoughtless? Because to think is painful. When you think, it creates disturbance. It brings about opposition. And it may cause one's action to contradict or to go contradictory or contrary to the established pattern. Do you understand? Where you want to do things that is not according to norm, but you dare not do because of peer pressure, society's pressure, your religious belief pressure, your traditions pressure, your parents pressure, society's. So all this put a lot of stress on you. That's why people go mad people go into depression and all those things. So this is what happened. Then you develop the what they call established pattern of thoughtlessness. Then to think and feel extensionally, to become choicelessly aware, may lead to unknown depth. That's why out of fear you dare not meditate. Especially got a few meditators used to tell me, suddenly they develop fear. No? When they reach the silent mind, they realize the thought tell them, hey, you got no thought. No thought means he think he dead. No? Then they reach the subtle breathing, hey, you got no breath. The thought come and tell you. No? Then they panic again, no? Fear of death. So this is what is happening. So you will create this to deceive you. Yeah. So to think, feel, means to make use of your mind to think and to feel extensionally, to become choicelessly aware may lead to unknown depth. So you fear of the unknown. Then the mind rebel, like what happened to those meditators, understand not? Against the unknown. Then what do? They want the comfort zone. Eh? You know what the comfort zone is, isn't it? Within the known. Understand not? Whatever that you are familiar, you don't have fear there. Correct not? So your comfort zone is what? Eh? So it moves from the known to the known. Understand not? From habit to habit. From pattern to pattern. Because you conform. Such a mind never abandon the known to discover the unknown. And you know what is the unknown? The unconditioned is the unknown. You want to realize enlightenment. You want to realize Nibbana. And you're scared of the unknown. You want to be within the field of thought. Understand? Akaliko is beyond thought, beyond mind, the unknown. The unconditioned. That is the real one. That's why people don't understand. So such a mind never abandons the known to discover the unknown. So realizing the pain of thought, what does the thought do? The thought actually is the thinker. The thinker becomes thoughtless through copying, through habit. That's why you do that. Being afraid to think, he creates pattern of thoughtlessness, this habitual tendency. As the thinker is afraid, his actions are born of fear, correct? Yeah? Because you act according to memory, which is your fear, your phobia. And then he regrets his action and try to change them. You know what he's doing or not? They say anger is me, fear is me. They want to suppress and control anger. But it is the same thought, understand or not? And they don't understand. So the thinker is afraid of his own creation. Because that fear, that phobia is your own creation. Understand not? It's part of thought. That's why the observer is the observer. You know what is the observer? Is the observer. Yeah? There is no one to see or observe anything. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. There is no one to see. So the observer is actually the thought. Understand not? And the thought is all those movements. Understand not? That's why the observer is the observed. They are one. That's why when you are aware, what happened? Your awareness and your kaya or whatever foundation you are in, they are one. Understand or not? There is no division, no separation. That's why there is no observer. There is no watcher. There is no thinker. The thought is the thinker. The thought thinks itself. True respond to memory. So this one you can see it in your meditation. It's very clear. Then this one, the thinker is afraid of his own creation, but the deed is the doer. So the thinker is afraid of himself. The thinker is fear itself. You understand? Yeah, that is thought. The thinker is the cause of ignorance and sorrow. Why? Because you attach, you cling, you think it's separate. So when you think, you separate means you exist. You don't want fear, understand? You don't want anger, so what you do? You want to suppress it, control it, you want to push it away. You are fighting your own thought, fighting your own fear, your own shadow. And how can you kill your own shadow? You understand? Huh? As long as you are in the field of thought, it will manifest. You can go and use whatever thought process to try to free. You can never free. Oh, so fast, huh? Okay, I finish it off. Eh? The thinker may divide himself into many categories of thought. This is what you must see in your meditation. Sometimes it comes through the back door, deceive you, tell you all sorts of story, and say, yeah, you are right. Fear is not you. But your problem is still there. You have to cling, attach, you have to do something. That's why you will never die. You know why or not? The thought refused to die. If thought die, what happened? It's like you die, understand? That's why that thought want to survive. That thought which is egoic will never kill himself, understand? Unless through awareness you see, you understand, then you don't have to kill, understand? Otherwise you break the first precept. So what you do? You let it cease, understand? The thought will cease. You don't have to kill the thought, understand? You're without ignorance. There is no avijja paccaya sankhara, means no more thinking, no more activity of mind, understand? So what you need is wisdom to root out avijja, ignorance. So this is it. The thinker may divide himself into many categories of thought, but the thought is still the thinker. You understand? That's why you use thought, you cannot identify the thought. You cannot pinpoint where you are incapable of seeing it. Is the thought seeing another thought? You understand that? I really explained to, I think, Tammy many times. They always in the retreat tell me, I can see my thought, no. I can see my anger. I can see my fear. I do cittanupassana, no. You think that is cittanupassana? You think you can see your thought? You can see your anger? Is another thought telling that you have anger, understand? No? When you really aware of anger, it's not seeing anger, no. It's when anger arises, when you stir your mind and this emotion arise, you can feel it, the movement in your chest here, very strong. Then when you silent and aware, stay with it, means the awareness and the movement, the so-called anger or fear, you stay with it, the third way. Then you don't give it any more wrong thought. It will cease. It will slow down and dissipate and cease. That is the one that you have to realize. Then you come to know clearly that thought, anger, fear is dependent originating due to my wrong view. When I don't have wrong view, the original state of mind return, silent return, peace return, stillness return, tranquility. This is how you awaken. Then you realize you got no more fear. Because anger is not me. Fear is not me. Dependent origin. So why must I say I still got anger? I still got fear. Why must you be so foolish? Who is that I? That I is the thought that create all this movement. If you know you are not the thought, you are that state which is beyond thought, beyond mind, which is your true mind, your true nature, then you just silence everything and just let things be. It will go back to its original state of stillness before the stirring, before the reaction of mind, before all this activity. That's why without avijja, there is no sankhara. Without ignorance, there is no mental activity. So why can't you develop the wisdom through understanding the way of thought, seeing their characteristic and knowing that they are not real, they are not you, then you just let things be, it will cease. And this is how the thinker and his effort to be, see, this is the Buddha's teaching, eh? To be and to become, understand, are the very cause of conflict and suffering or confusion. Yeah. To be means what? Becoming. Becoming is craving. Craving to be and to become something. So this is what suffering and sorrow is. So when you understand the way of thought, the thinker and his effort to try to use thought to overcome problem created by thought, you can't. You can only rationalize it. Then maybe like the psychiatrist, you know what they will give to you? The tranquilizer, or the hormone pill to adjust your they call, when you are in depression, your panic attack, your fear, your phobia, it because the chemical imbalance inside. You understand? Those who study psychology, they will know. Then the doctor will give you that chemical pill to stabilize your chemical imbalance. Then you feel better. Understand? But it's a drug. Drug means what? Dependent. It becomes stronger and stronger. Like sleeping, insomnia, they give you tranquilizer, sleeping pill. You know what happened? Initially, it worked. After that, it hardly worked. A lot of these depressed people tell me, but yeah, last time I can at least sleep for 3 hours, 4 hours. Now 1 hour also cannot sleep. Double the dose also cannot sleep. I say because your panic attack, your fear, your intense fear. You have to understand, fear will never free your mind. Fear will never help you. So why must you fear? Fear is a movement of thought. Fear is not real. Fear is dependent originating. But fear is a negative energy. It lowers your immune system. It breaks your consciousness down. It creates karmic negativity. It haunts you and makes you miserable. Yeah, this is your karmic past. You have to pay back. Last time you inflict such intense fear on people, you don't know. That's why now your condition, it hit you back. So they always ask me, so what must I do? They want to, like Maggie me, quick answer. I say, you find out for yourself, what must you do? I already explained. Huh? Got me? I say, you need to ask for forgiveness, you ask for forgiveness, you need to repent, you repent, and follow the advice of the Buddha. Difficult or not? Then they hesitate. But you want them to meditate, they don't want one. Understand? When their problem recover, they won't come back to the class, I tell you. Except those who really need all this to wake them up, then they come back. We got a lot of depression. Some 17 years, 10 years, 20 years, after they recover, they come back and they share with other people, which is very good. So all this is for your understanding. You have to understand your mind, your thinking mind, the mundane mind. You got two mind. The other one is your true mind. Your true mind is your silent mind, the meditative mind, before the thought arises, before the thinking, before the aggregate of mind, before you even perceive. That's why when you're sitting as they are, it's the pure awareness. You're just aware, like a baby, newborn baby, see something without the words, without the concept. They see things as they are. Everything is still there. You don't have a word to say what color, what drawing or what. They see things as they are, like a baby. Yeah. Without the memory, the conditioning, they just see like that. That's why they are very innocent. Very cute. So, the enlightened being or the cultivator is like a baby's mind, understand? But with all the memory, that's why you are different. With all the memory, you are still like a baby. That is the enlightened mind. Understand? Otherwise, with this memory, you will act according to memory. Your fear, your phobia, your whatever, insecurity, all they will arise. You can't do anything because you have not developed the straightening of you, the wisdom, the understanding of who you are, what you are. So you cling onto the thought, you grasp onto the thought, you create all this thoughtless life or living. This is what heedlessness is all about. This is what suffering is all about. Okay, we better end. Sorry. 10 minutes past 10:30. Okay, we end. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Kaviva share merits with all beings. Akka satta cha pubhata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu loka sasana etta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodhantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we can end.
Let's express